Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Made in India. This week, I'm meeting a singer-songwriter originally from Gangtok, Sikkim, who feels like a friend I've known for ages. I'm talking about Anushka Maski. She opens up about feeling like she doesn't belong anywhere, playing a right-handed guitar as a lefty, and struggling at corporate jobs before she became a musician. She also tells me about how she made her debut EP in her bedroom during the first lockdown. She performs three songs for us, including one that's from her upcoming EP. I know, very exciting.
Hello. Hi, everybody. I am Anushka Maski, and I am here in Made in India with May. The first song I'm going to do for you is called Trampoline. It's one of the songs from my debut EP, Things I Saw in a Dream. And I hope you like it.
Anushka, so excited to have you on the show. Trampoline, love that. That's from your, as you mentioned, your debut album.
Yes.
And so a couple of things that I have to say. I'm so glad. I did not know you were in Bombay. I was like, where is this girl? And then you came here and I'm like, she must be on Made in India. So I'm excited that you're here. And I do know that originally you're actually from Gangtok in Sikkim, right?
Yeah.
And you were born and raised there. But I've heard you say somewhere that you never felt like you belonged.
Mm-hmm.
Please explain.
Hi, firstly, thank you so much for having me here. Yeah, so I think I've spent, 17, 18 years of my life in Sikkim. And I think that even while growing up and with my home environment and everything, it never really felt like my place. You know, I don't really know how to put it. I always felt like I was always trying to fit into friend groups and always felt like you know, I was constantly needing to prove myself sort of a thing all through school. I think I associated with that part of my life when I didn't feel like I was good enough. And so now even going back, even if it's for like a short amount of time, like I try to avoid it, even at the cost of like losing gigs.
I feel like I think all of us and everyone has a different kind of experience, like especially when you've been, like you said, born in a place or studied there, or you're trying to like figure out your life. And if you, you know, being someone who doesn't fit in, like that really like hurts. Yeah. And then sometimes we associate that with places. Yeah. So if Sikkim is not home, then what feels like home for you then?
That's the thing. I think it even reflects in a lot of my songwriting is that I feel like I haven't found places where I belong. Mm-hmm. And I have, of course, I lived in Bangalore for like 6-7 years. So I do have a lot of attachment to that city. But it still, you know, like doesn't feel like it's where I belong. I don't know where that's going to be. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like it might be, and I think this depends for different people's different things. Is it the people? Mm-hmm. Is it like a physical space? Because I think all of it contributes in some way.
Yeah.
But do you feel like you'll always kind of be a misfit?
I don't know. I might. I don't know. I mean, that's not actually true because more so lately than ever, like since 2020 and I started putting music out and everything, I found a sort of community in the music scene. And music itself is the very first time I've ever felt like something I do or something I've done is, you know, worth it enough to like share with anybody and for myself.
Maybe music is your home.
Yeah. Maybe music is my home. Yeah.
Maybe that's the space that actually makes you feel like, okay, this is me.
Yeah.
So for you, as you had mentioned, growing up was a bit rough. Mm-hmm. But where did music sort of crop in in your life growing up?
Yeah. I think it definitely started with my older brother, my sibling.
Yeah.
He loves music. He's an incredible guitarist. And I've always seen him through. He's 7 years older than me. So I've always seen him as this, you know, older person. He's been in bands through school and college. And we used to have these. I'm sure you can, you know, imagine like a home video where he's sitting and he's playing the guitar and I'm in the corner holding like a shampoo bottle, being a mic for him. And I've got my dance moves. There are so many embarrassing home videos, sweet. Which I hope my mom doesn't have anymore. But that's how it started.
I'm calling your mom now.
But that's pretty much how it started. And I think he was definitely one of the first ones who saw that I could actually sing. And we would jam. We had this big hall that had a beautiful natural reverb and he would play the guitar and I would sing and we would jam. And that's really where it all began.
Wow. I also, like, there's like a really strange story about you and your brother's guitar.
Yeah, okay.
And that you picked it up, you're holding it wrong. Yeah. You got to tell me about this.
So I don't remember, I guess 7, 8, not much older than that. He had a guitar. He had this huge guitar, which is still huge to me, by the way, because I'm tiny. I grabbed it one day and I held it just in some random way and I started playing it. And he noticed that I was holding it ulta, holding it the other way around. And he was like, wait a minute, what if I teach it to her like that? And so he started teaching it to me like that. And I stuck around with it ever since.
Wow. So basically you play a right-handed guitar, but left.
Yeah. But I can't play a lefty guitar.
Yes. Which is, again, very bizarre. But yes, super specific. It's one of those that you do, you friend. Yeah. So from there, you have been in bands in college and stuff like that. So you got to tell me about that because one of my favorite moments is like, what was the name of the college band?
Oh my God.
That is my favorite. I want you have to give me name now. They're usually like something awful, but also like so like hardcore.
Oh, dude. Okay, so we were mostly a cover rock band, but we tried to come up with a bunch of originals that we thought were quirky. I don't know. It's probably shit. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's shit. So we were initially going to be called Alok's Bitches because that was the name of our like music professor. But then we decided on something worse, which was Brains on Benziquinone.
No. Oh, that... I genuinely didn't think there could have been something worse than that. And then you just... wow.
Yeah, and we had an original named Assaulted Catfish. So like playing with assaulted and assaulted. I'm sorry.
These are beautiful moments. They bring me so much joy. I'm like, I need more college band names in my life.
Oh my God, I've never told any media about this. Jesus.
I can't wait for you to release Assaulted Catfish. But what was it? Brains on?
Benzoquinone.
Benzoquinone. Wow, that's rough. So that also allowed you to sort of pursue music, you know, while you were in college.
Yeah.
But you never thought of it as like a serious thing. Like, yeah. I think I can do a career in music.
Yeah. So I went directly from finishing my undergrads to going into corporate. So I started working right away. And I thought that that's just how life is supposed to be. Mm. You're supposed to earn well and keep yourself afloat and maybe do music in the side if that's something you're getting time for. But I was getting no time for it. Like a 9-to-5 job, you come back home and you're just done for the day.
So tired,
And like I was not inspired. I was miserable. And I think it took a lot. But I think in a way that I'm really grateful that that happened. And I spent a couple of years being miserable because it was like I had to have those experiences to know that, you know, that's not something that I can look at as a backup.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be miserable there. To not have that fallback, I needed to experience it.
Fair enough. And then now that you know, you're like, I definitely don't want that.
Yes.
And then you'll work that much harder not to fall into that kind of. So where was that turning point? Like, what was that moment where you were like, I genuinely can't do this anymore?
Oh my God. There were so many moments through the entire time there. But I think, I don't know, I think one of the biggest things that I absolutely hated was the general environment in the office where there are a bunch of people who are really delusional and think they're the shit and they need to fucking prove that to everybody. I don't know. But just the general environment, people just felt like they were very in their heads and all about themselves. And I can't grow in that kind of environment. And secondly, I hated the job. Like, I'm just not meant for it.
Yeah. What was it? You were a journalist or something.
I was a content and copywriter for a while.
Yeah.
And then I also did marketing and sales.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sales would have just murdered you. It's like I have respect for you even. I mean, I tell people this is what I can't do because it is genuinely also very difficult.
Yeah.
It's not like that's an easy job.
Yeah.
Selling is not easy.
No.
Oh my God. So yeah, no wonder you're like, I am done. This is like over. But in that sense, then kind of jumping into becoming a musician, even though for you, you're like, you had music as being a part of your life, but making your career is like a really big shift.
Yeah.
Was it easy for you? Did you have naysayers in your life saying, are you crazy? Why are you doing this? Like, what was it like when you decided to make that shift?
I received a lot of unsolicited advice. I think it was definitely a difficult move because I was so comfortable in a high-paying job. And to let that go itself was difficult. And then after I quit, I wasted a year not knowing what to do. Like, not a year, but a couple of months.
But it felt like a year.
Yeah, 100% it felt like it. Yeah. And that's when I was like, the answer is right in front of you. You know exactly what you love. Take the reins. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to waste a couple of years. Nothing's going to happen. At least you'll know you're not going to live with that regret.
Mm.
So thankfully, at the time when I was transitioning into being a musician, I had the support of my close friend and my boyfriend who really, honestly, Dhananjay and Pranay, without the two of them, I would not be here. Like, honestly, they were the ones who honestly picked me up during my darkest times and told me, just start putting it out. Like, just start putting it on YouTube, Instagram. Like, you don't have to think about the outcome right now. Just do it. And then it happened. Yeah.
And talking about your music, your debut album, which coincidentally you released during the pandemic, which is, I think that was a time where everyone just went like either went hardcore into I have time. I'm not on tour.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything else. Like, let me just make some music. I think the other aspect of this was also that people realized that let me go back and dust off that hard drive that I left some untitled songs and kind of explore that. Did you feel like that was a time when you're putting out this album, you're like, oh my God, I'm ready for this?
Yeah, So Things I Saw in a Dream, the debut album, was written in the lockdown. And I'd only tried my hand at songwriting per se in like towards the end of 2019. And so when I had all that time to myself during the first lockdown and all that time to introspect and, you know, think about who I am and all of that stuff, that's when the album came about. And it honestly wouldn't have existed without the first lockdown. And yeah. I'd been in a rush to release something for a while. And all I had was a USB microphone that wow. you directly plug into your Mac and you use
full
it.
Full bedroom.
Yeah, full vibes. Bedroom. Full yeah. bedroom vibes. And so, I mean, obviously, when you think about your debut work of art out there in the world, you think you're going to record it in a nice studio. You're going to have musicians to come session with you. But everything was locked down. And Pranay is like, so what, you're going to wait for the next few months or another year or another 2 years to release something because you don't want to record on your USB microphone? And I thought long and hard about that. And I was like, you know what? No, I need something out there that represents me.
Yeah.
Recorded it on that sad little microphone. I'm sure Pranay did not have a blast mixing that shit. But yeah, and we just put it out. Yeah.
Yeah. But I have to say, I did really like your debut. Yeah. And I think it is like one of the reasons why I went, oh my God, this is incredible. You're, you know, there's something different about you. And
thank you.
Trampoline, which you played your first song, that's one of my favorite songs from, you know, your album. Can yeah. you tell people a little bit about Trampoline?
Yeah. Trampoline is a lot of the times while we're growing up, while we're living our lives, we don't even realize all of the memories that we must have forgotten as we've been living. And Trampoline is about that. It's about, you know, when I got a call, like literally during the lockdown, I got a call from an unknown number. I picked it up. I had no idea who the fuck she was. And she was just like, hey man, do you remember? I used to live beside you, yada, yada, yada. And I was completely lost until she told me a few things. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, I remember you. And that's when I was like, shit, like so many figments of your, you know, memory are just gone, and until yeah. you probably never even remember them until you're reminded or something. Yeah,
I absolutely get that, because I think I anyway have like a really bad memory. Mm-hmm. And I think that I've had these moments where, especially I feel like when these reunions happen, mm-hmm. that's when all these memories come out, because I'm like, I can't believe that happened. And yes, it did. And then I do feel like at the time now, I don't know if there's just like more stuff that's happening in the world, and we're able to see and meet and know more people, but I think my brain has run out of space. Yeah, I feel like every time something new has to come in, something old has gone.
No, I totally get that. I think it's the overconsumption also from sitting at home. Yeah,
so I'm like, especially the worst that happens to me is if I forget someone's name. Yeah. It makes me feel awful. And like, I love people who just reintroduce themselves. I'm yeah. like, thank you. Even if I do know your name, I'm just really glad that you said it again. So I am kind of curious. Mm-hmm. Firstly, listening to this album, all of the songs are like 2 minutes. They're mm-hmm. very short songs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Was that quite intentional, or did they just end up being like that?
So I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it was the first time I was writing music. And almost, yeah, you're right. Almost all of the songs turned out to be like maximum of 3 minutes, not mm-hmm. even 3 minutes, some of them. But yeah, there really isn't much thought that went into that. It just, the songs just, I usually end a song when I feel like it's over.
Yeah.
But the arrangements I have for it now that I'm doing live shows and getting other musicians involved, they're like much longer.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that, about Things I Saw in a Dream, firstly, why? What did you see in this dream? Because I'm like, when you put that there as a title of your yeah. album, then I'm like, I want to know. You have to tell me now.
I think Things I Saw in a Dream, since you've heard the entire record, the whole lockdown and the pandemic and everything felt like it was something out of a book or something out of like a movie. And
didn't feel real.
It didn't
right?
feel real at all. Yeah.
Yeah,
and coincidentally, through the first few months of the lockdown, I was having these extremely fantastical dreams. Like there was a lot of color. There was a lot of like, it was like I was on drugs.
Yeah.
And
but in your dreams.
In my dreams. And Things I Saw in a Dream, the song, is about one of the dreams I had. I had the dream at night. I woke up. I decided to write it down, and I decided to make it a song. And yeah, it just felt cohesive.
Yeah. Nice. So what's the second song you're going to play for me today?
So I'm... Okay, I'll let you pick. either things I saw in a dream.
Okay.
Or a new song.
We'll do things I saw in a dream. Cool. Thank you so much for playing another one of my favorites from your album. So you actually, after releasing your album, you also released an EP the same year. You were just like, I'm just going to put it all out. Just so enthu you were. What an enthu cutlet you are, man.
Things I Saw in a Dream came out because I really wanted to have something out there that represents me.
Yeah.
And C's, also we already had the songs and we were like, and I felt like it was holding me back from writing more. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put it out. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be there.
And so C's also came out in 2020. Yeah. And that, I have to admit, very emo, very hardcore. You're like, I'm very upset and very angry with humanity. You're not looking after planet Earth. How dare you? That's what it was. And not even just that. It wasn't like you being angry. You were like, we're going to die.
Yeah.
Like the first song is called Swan Song. I'm like, you're already like, I am now chalo. Just everyone just pile into the ocean. It's over now.
Yeah,
we're done.
That was the idea of having no resolve. Just let people be uncomfortable.
Where did that come from then?
So I think my creative partner Pranay and I had come up with the concept for C's a while back. And we'd always wanted to do like this dark apocalypse-y something. And there's this game, video game, it's called Last of Us. And the whole theme really inspired us. It's like an apocalyptic world and everything. And just, we just thought that we'd take that as a reference and move from there. And like, it was a completely different, like we'd never even done anything concept before. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And it was like almost stark contrast to the first album. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like compared to like this, I mean, it's definitely not cheery stuff we got here. But like now, and I think in the last year or so, you've been kind of releasing like singles on and off. Yeah. And I have to say one of my faves was, I think also because it felt so unexpected, like it's called Empire of Fear.
Yeah.
but it's like, this doesn't feel very like doom and gloom. Like, so it's also very, there is this sort of like real clash, I think, in that, but it's an interesting one. And now your latest single, which is called So Long Already Again. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because like, is that about long distance?
So Long Already Again is one of the first love songs I've ever released as a single. It never felt like a strong suit in terms of writing about love. I never could find the balance. But it started with Intervals in Things I Saw in a Dream. That's also a love song. And So Long basically came out of... Pranay and I had been in a 3-year long distance relationship, and it was back and forth all the freaking time.
And especially 3 years long distance? I would never have survived that.
It was great because his parents graciously allowed me to, you know. I overstayed my welcome several times, by the way, every time I would visit him in Bombay. But basically it was like, it's just the part where you're leaving that you're like, oh shit, you're gonna have to go through the same thing again. We weren't sad, we weren't like deep in melancholy or anything, but we were just done with the whole process. And that's where it So Long came about.
That's why I like the name. It's just like, okay, goodbye again.
Like,
it's like you've like now completely resigned yourself to the trauma that you're going to continue to experience. I got a chance to kind of, obviously we do some considerable amount of stalking, but I do love, and I have to be very honest, I do love a good like band bio, like or an artist bio, because I'm like, these are things that bring me great joy. Some of them are like super hardcore and like very descriptive. Some of them are like really like strange and like, I'm like, what is happening? But yours is just like a laundry list of all your strange and wonderful quirks. So like one is that you only write songs on notepads that open vertically. What are you talking about?
You know those things?
Why only those ones?
I don't know. It's just very satisfying.
Oh.
I think like rather than that motion, I prefer that motion.
Yeah. So basically from bottom to top rather than from...
right to left.
Yeah, that one. I was, for a second, I was like, how am I actually like... I was using the hand action just now to figure out like, what am I supposed to do when I open a book? And then you have a... I don't know if you still do. A puppy? Named... Pukchi?
Pukchi, yes.
What does Pukchi mean?
She's my baby. Pukchi means, in my language, in Nepali, it just means someone with like chubby cheeks or like someone whose cheeks you want to squeeze. Which is ironic because she's not chubby anymore now that she's grown up. But yeah, that's my baby. That's my Pukchi. Yes. Who I've had to sadly leave back home in Sikkim.
That was hard. She's going to be there for a while.
I wept all
you're
the
not,
way out of Sikkim.
You know you're not going back.
I'm trying to bring her here now.
Yeah?
Yeah, for like a short while.
By the way, I know the tiniest bit of Nepali.
Really?
Yeah, I had a friend, Kastucho and Ramrocho.
I'm not sure that's Gujarati or Nepali.
I was so close.
But that was lovely.
Thanks. No, I had a friend of mine that taught me when I was in boarding school. So, also, you can't swim. That was another one at all. Do you want to learn?
I do.
Oh.
I just never got around to it. I don't know.
You should. It's lovely.
Yeah.
I learned when I was very young. My mom was like, it's like one of those skills you have to have. You should learn how to swim, drive, this, that.
Yeah.
You... By the way, I feel for you here. You said you've been biting your nails since 2005. Me too. I'm trying very hard not to. I just recently got a manicure and I'm like, I'm going to grow these babies out.
I've never had nails long enough to get a manicure.
Neither have I. I did my first time. I'm like currently 37 and I got my first, one of my first manicures ever. And sorry, I missed one. Mm. You never want to grow your hair out?
No, I tried. I've tried, and every time it gets like here and it starts touching my neck.
So you're like sort of right by your neck, like a bob basically, or anything longer than a bob.
I try, and then I just can't. As soon as hair touches any other part than my, well, head, skull, it just gets
You're like,
icky.
This is tedious, I'm done now.
Can't go back. I had long hair though.
You did at one point, but you're just now like never again. And now your Instagram bio says, I write, I sing, I break things. Just tell me, what was the last thing you broke, madam?
That's as literal as it comes. You already know that I fuck up a lot since we've spoken
before. Small mishaps, I'm thinking, yes.
But if I had a penny for everything I have broken or dropped or just messed up in some way or form, I'd be really rich.
I'm going to put this out there. When we're talking about the wonderful woman who's in front of me, and I'm so glad she came today because the poor thing turned up yesterday to the studio saying, hey, I'm here for Made in India. And so when we're talking about mishaps and unfortunate events, like, I'm so glad you still came back today, despite like, but again, of course, you know, you're like, it's not your fault, guys. It's me. Why am I like this? Does this happen to you a lot, like the unfortunate events thing?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, whenever I tell this to people, they probably think, oh, I'm the same way, you know, like I mess up a lot also. I'm always dropping things and stuff, but it's real with me. It's an everyday thing.
Damn.
Yeah.
I feel like with me, you know, the thing of like when you're talking about breaking things, I feel like I get like nicked. Like sometimes I don't realize maybe how big I am, but like I'll walk into a doorway and then like my elbow will hit something. And I'm like, where? Or I'll see like a cut on my leg. And I'm like, when did this happen? I do not remember. So then like this thing of like, why, how all these weird, like, you know, it's weird.
We just got to accept ourselves. Yeah. I've reached a point of acceptance. If I drop a cup of coffee, I dropped it.
Yeah.
There's no surprise there anymore.
Yeah. Keep cleaning everything up. But I do think, like, sometimes I used to get so, like, I'm like, is the universe trying to tell me? Is the universe trying to bump into me? Because I can feel it. I get it. What is the sign? Maybe that should be your next one. We'd be like, everything is dying. But maybe this is a sign that, like, we are pushing you now. Where this is like, you know, do you remember Facebook used to have that poke feature?
Oh, you could just poke people.
So maybe it's just the universe poking us.
Cool. I look at it like that.
Yeah. And your next second album by Anushka Maski, Poke. Okay, so what are your plans at the moment? Are you planning to release some new music? Yeah. Are you working on stuff? What are you up to?
I think the thing that I'm most excited about right now is band members. Having them.
I was like, it took me a second. I didn't understand what you were saying.
Having band members. So I'm in the process of curating my band, and I have my guitarist. He brings me to life. He brings my songs.
That's so good.
Like, I think it's, I don't know, he was training me in calisthenics, and he also taught me guitar for a while, and he's amazing. He's this...
That actually sounds like Bangalore. That is like, not only was he my gym but trainer, but he was also my guitarist.
No, he's actually from here, so...
Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because, like, my cousin's a musician, and he's a kickboxer. Such a cliche, I love it.
No, but yeah, like, I'm just really happy I found him, and that is one thing I'm excited about, getting band members. And then there's also an EP for next year.
Yay!
Which I was supposed to release this year. It's like, it's kind of like an anti Things I Saw in a Dream, kind of. So Things I Saw in a Dream was all about introspection during the lockdown, but like the positive side of it, it was more like saying, we're good, we'll be all right. We're all in this together. We're on the same boat. This next EP is like, I'm down and out. I'm fucked mentally. My mental health is going nowhere. I'm messed up. Yeah.
So I can't tell if it's like, so when you're saying opposite of Things I Saw in a Dream, I'm like, Things I Saw in a Nightmare?
Yeah.
Or are you thinking I saw in real life? Like, I can't tell which one it is.
I was thinking of naming it Things I Saw When I Woke Up.
Oh, I think you should. I'm totally feeling that. My vote goes for that one if you need it. Look at me being presumptuous. Just in case you want my opinion, I vote for that title.
No, but I like it.
So what's the last song you're going to play for us today?
I'm going to play you something from the EP. Yes.
Things I Saw When I Woke Up.
Yes. You're really making me consider that again. Like, I'm not even shitting you.
I'm
supposed to call it The Search for Wild Geese. But I don't know. The other one has a ring to it.
Yeah. The Search for Wild Geese, I get it. But the thing is, when I woke up, is a real great corollary to, like, your... Yeah.
I'll actually think about it. No, for real.
So what's the song called that you're going to play
The song
first?
Is The Search for Wild Geese, which is also which is also the EP title. And to put it briefly, it's just about the fear of dying alone.
Really? Killing it with the cheery conversations, my friend.
Like, even in my shows, I'm profusely apologizing to people. I'm just like, thank you guys. Everybody applauds. And I'm like, the next song is going to be even more depressing.
Just, yeah. You think you're sad now. I'm only going to make it worse. Next song is about not dying alone. I don't know why I'm laughing.
And the fear of dying alone, yes. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, cool. So your last song is?
The Search for Wild Geese.
That was The Search for Wild Geese by Anushka Maski. Gosh, you weren't kidding. That stuff's heavy, but so gorge. Thank you so much, Anushka, for being on the show, and it truly felt like we were just old buddies catching up after a really long time. Now, if you like this episode of Made in India, you know what? I am really tired, and I don't think I can keep saying this again. Sean?
Okay, me. I guess I have another job to do. To all our listeners, if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, follow, rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice. And come say hi to us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. That's @MadeInIndia. That's MAED. See you next week, same time, same place.